If it started, there we go, it started, yay. Good morning, everybody. It's February 12th, 2023. Another beautiful day in Littleton, Colorado. Take your Bibles and go to Philippians. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 10, I'm in 2 Timothy. Get the right Timothy. And chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And that really explains what's going on in this world. It's like, it seems like the, you know, sometimes I think, when people age, they think, oh, the world's just going bad. That's part of it. But I think also the world is going bad lately. And really, it's the root of this evil is it's the love of money. And there's nothing wrong with money. You know, it's like I work a job, so I get a paycheck. Diane just got a new job, so she gets a paycheck. And, you know, I love having a paycheck and having money to buy it. Got myself a new shirt from the flag shirt, see? You know, it's nice to be able to go buy something and not worry if I can afford a new shirt or not. But it's when you love money that's the root of all evil. I'm thinking about what's going on in our world today. And there was, we got it like in our government. Originally our government, there was people would be citizens that would run for government, and then they would serve for a few years, and then they go back into doing their business. And now they've become like a ruling class. It's like the lords and the serfs, kind of like the Dark Ages. There was a young woman, AOC, we know her as. She was a bartender, and she ran for Congress, and she got there. And she couldn't afford the apartments when she got there because D.C. is a very expensive place. Well, she's been in office a few years, and suddenly now she's a millionaire. But her salary's like, what's it, $175,000 or something like that? How do you get to be a millionaire making $175,000 for like 3 or 4 years? It's corruption. And unfortunately, what's happened is you get crooked puppet masters that buy the Republican and the Democrat candidate in a lot of the races. So no matter who wins, they can make happen what they want to happen. And so that's why we're seeing all this evil in our day and time, is because people love money more than they love God. And people are to be loved. God is to be loved. We don't use people. We don't use things. Money is a tool to be used. Like my car, that's a thing to be used. I use my car to get somewhere so I don't have to walk. But I don't love my car. Well, maybe I do like it a little bit, but I don't put it above people.
And you don't need 100 of them.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. And at verse 15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Let's go to Psalms 14. Let's see, Psalm. so many of these, a whole bunch of them in here, like over 100 of them or something.
150-ish.
Psalm 14, verse 1. For the fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable works. There is none good that doeth good. It also talks about how, and they quote this in Romans, you know, Paul was teaching, there's none good, no, not one, you know, and by the flesh, we are no good. By the flesh, we're just going to go out and do evil things to make a buck just because we want more money and we love money and stuff, but that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to walk by the Spirit. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And they are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, that's talking about, that's not saying everybody's evil. What it's saying is because of Adam, we all have sin nature. And by sin nature, we're going to do bad stuff. But many people like us, we look at God and we look at the Bible and we say, we're not going to be like that. We're not going to go do the evil stuff. So let's go to Ecclesiastes. We've got like Psalms here. You go to Proverbs after it. And then after that, you got a little short book, Ecclesiastes. Not very many pages. It's easy to miss.
Chapter
7, verse 12. And it says, for wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Now, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's King James, Old English. And if you look at your center reference, if you have a center reference, you'll see in the Hebrew that defense should have been translated shadow. And the reason why people want money, it's not that they having that little piece of paper, the dollar bill is good, or having your digital account. Excuse me while I drink my water. Having money in your digital, what's that digital money called?
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yeah. Crypto, crypto.
Crypto.
Yeah. Blockchain, that's actually the proper term, blockchain. Or having money in your savings account or your retirement account. There's nothing wrong with that, but the reason why people want more than they need, because, well, God says in His Word, He'll give us what we need. And like when Jesus Christ was teaching His apostles how to pray, He was saying, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, we pray for things that we need. We need to eat, we need a roof over our head, we need clothes, we need shoes on our feet, a few things like that. Need a few dollars to pay your heating bill. But money's is a shadow, it can be a shadow. And the reason why people want an inordinate amount, they're millionaires. And like there was the robber barons in the 1800s, they were these millionaires and they would compete against each other to see who could have the most hundreds of millions of dollars. And it becomes lust. And lust is, you desire something, it's a desire that can't be satisfied. And it's interesting. I didn't put this in my teaching, but I just thought of it just now. There was, at the end of Jesus Christ's life, He said, with great desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you, but God has put something more important for me to do. He had to become the Passover. He had to die on the cross. And that word desire and desired in that verse is the same word that's translated lust in other places in the Bible. So it's a very strong desire. Jesus Christ had a very strong desire to do God's will. Well, there's people on this world that are doing evil and they have a very strong desire to get the shadow behind the money. Now, what's the shadow behind the money? You know, it's like, I put my arm out, if I was in the sun, it would cast a shadow. Well, the shadow is what it is. It's the shadow of power. People want power. People want to be able to tell other people what to do. And, you know, the God of this world, Satan, he wants to set it up. He wants to have another Dark Ages. That's what he's trying to set up. Where there's a handful of people in control that he can control, and they basically lord it over everybody, and everybody's life is miserable. So let's go to Luke. Chapter 4. We're starting about verse 6, and this is also a parallel record in Matthew chapter 4. And this is the temptation of Jesus Christ. I've taught this recently before, but it's important stuff. And actually, we're going to start more about verse 2. And being 40 days tempted of the devil, and that's actually Satan. He was tempted indirectly. He went out. Basically, Jesus Christ got baptized, and he got the fullness of the Spirit. Before he got this, now some people will teach that Jesus Christ could never had the Spirit at all until he was baptized by John. But Jesus Christ was a man like any other man, and any man in the Old Testament could, at time to time, have the Spirit upon him in various forms and so forth. And it was available, and I don't see a record that says he didn't have it, and I don't see a record that says he did have it. But what happened here is he got the fullness of the Spirit. Nobody up to this time had ever had the full measure like Jesus Christ just got now. And this, to deal with what was going on in his body and his soul and his spirit and his mind and his heart, he went out and was tempted 40 days, and he was out in the wilderness, and he didn't eat. Like, Ron, you and I were talking about intermittent fasting. How about 40 days for a fast? Yeah, I have trouble going half a day.
Moses did it too.
Yeah, I see that food in the pantry, and it's calling my name, saying, ooh, potato chips. But anyway, I digress. So he was basically Jesus Christ had put the word in his mind, and he was now dealing with this new reality of having this spiritual power. And so for 40 days, Satan, the devil, tempted him indirectly. And verse 3 here, he now tempts him directly. And the devil said, if you're the Son of God, you really think you're the Son of God. You're just like any other man that walked the earth. You know those stories that Mary told you about the Immaculate Conception? That was just a story. All that stuff in the Bible story, you're not really the Son of God. But if you are, the devil's saying, I'm going to play devil's advocate. How's that for a pun? Right. The devil's playing devil's advocate. You know, you're kind of hungry. This little stone here, let's command it to be bread. Wouldn't some bread taste good about now? And Jesus answered and said unto him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. There's another place that says every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And verse 5, the devil takes him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil said, hey, all this power I'll give you, and the glory of them. Not just the power, but the glory. You know, when you're the king, you get to wear the fancy robe, you get the crown, you get this big royal chair, you got servants. You want lunch, you just say, hey, somebody bring me a tuna sandwich. Mmm, tuna. Yeah, that's all you got to say. It's there. It's interesting. I was watching, there was this famous bass player who's played with a lot of touring acts, and he had this bass guitar, and he says he had been on, he was on tour, and he was never used to having a bass tech. And like a drummer will have a drum tech, a bass will have a bass tech, and a guitar will have a guitar tech. They basically change your strings. They do everything that needs to be done. And he says, you know, I think this bass could use new pickups. And the next day he picks it up, and there was new pickups in it. Because he was the entertainer, and he had these people serving. Well, that's the way the king is, you know, and he'd get all the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me. It was when, you know, Adam and Eve, when they blew it, they delivered the kingdom of this world to Satan. Now, there's a kingdom of earth. Satan runs the earth. He's the god of this world. But there's an overall kingdom of God that supersedes the kingdom of this earth. That's why Satan has limited power. He can pull evil, he can steal, kill, and destroy, but he has limits with how much he can do. And that's why we have the power of Jesus Christ. We can back him down the same way he was backing the devil down here. And that's why, well, he'll say that in verse, he'll have a response in verse 8, but I need to read verse 7 here first. If thou therefore will worship me, all will be thine. See, that's why, you ever notice, like, they had in the Old Testament, you had the kingdom of Israel, and you had the kingdom of Judea, and they would run, I mean, they were basically of the 12 tribes of Israel, they were believers, governed by believers, but still, most of their kings were evil. It's because the devil puts in power who he wills, and every once in a while a good one slips in. I mean, in my lifetime, you know, I'm in my 60s now, very few of the presidents or governors or senators that I've seen were actually good people. A lot of them are criminals, and they're out the love of money. You know, you see, like, these wars. Wars? Why do we have wars? Money laundering. Why do we have foreign aid? It's money laundering. Why do we have these government big spending programs? It's money laundering. How else do these people earning $175,000 a year get to be multimillionaires in just a few years? It's money laundering. You know, and then they know they're going to pass this law here that's going to affect plastic water bottles. They're going to pass a law, and they know it's coming through, and so they know, okay, I need to change my portfolio to no longer invest in this and now invest in this, because this is going to crash and this is going to go way up. And then it happens. Now, there's laws that says that's illegal, but they don't get enforced because they love money. And they get rich, and we get poor. Well, maybe we're not poor, but they tax us more than they should. And verse 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. I say that all the time. Diane and I, we pray every night, and quite often when we pray at night, I say, Satan, get thee behind me. Go back to hell where you belong. Go take a long walk off a short pier.
Be gone. You have no power here.
Yeah, it's like the Wizard of Oz. Be gone. You have no power here. You know, and he'll sometimes come to us and remind us of our past. You know, we were like, remember I was reading there in Psalm 14, those people that say in their heart, there was a time I said in my heart, there's no God, and there was nothing, no redeemable thing in me. I was just out for myself. But then God worked on my heart, and now I love God, and I walk with God. And so when Satan reminds me of what I used to be, I remind him of his future. Hey, buddy, you're going to burn in the lake of fire. You need some iced tea while you're there? Huh? It ain't going to help. And then he did one more thing, and he brought him to Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you're really the Son of God, you can jump off this thing, and you won't get hurt. The angels will catch you, and all that stuff. Verse 10, for it is written, he'll give his angels charge over thee and keep thee, and their hands will bear thee up, lest you won't even hurt your foot against a little stone when you fall. You'll land soft. And Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In verse 13, I love this verse. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. See, also all we got to do is there will be temptations. The devil will throw stuff at you. But we resist, and he has to depart for a season. I don't know how long that season will be, but it will happen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians.
Before you do that, can I interject one thing?
Yes.
In all these temptations, when the devil said, if you be the Son of God, if, Jesus Christ never even addressed that. He didn't say, well, I am. I mean, he didn't, he just ignored the devil saying, you know, giving him a doubt. He ignored the doubt and went right on to speak the word of God, which is the sword of the sword of the spirit, speaking the word. He didn't even address that doubt.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, or we think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. For the ministration, talking about the Old Testament, of death, what written and engraven in stones, talking about God wrote the Ten Commandments, was glorious, so that even the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, for the glory was to be done away. Now what this is talking about, when Moses went up to the mountain, he saw God face to face. Well, actually, I think he just saw his backside, or what was it? Yeah. But anyway, yeah. And he wasn't able to see God face to face, but just being up there with God, when he came back, they had to put a veil over him because he shone so brightly that the people had trouble looking at him. And I remember the first fellowship I went to, and I was convinced the people that were teaching the word were glowing. Because I saw, oh my God, this is the truth of God's word. This is amazing. Verse 8, how shall the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? See, it's even more glorious. What we have now is greater than what they had in the Old Testament. For the ministration of condemnation be, for if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of righteousness exceed the glory. For even that which was made glorious hath no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. In other words, we now have God in Christ in us. And like I was telling you about how Jesus Christ got that full measure of the Spirit. Nobody had ever had that before. He went out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights to try and figure out what was going on. I mean, he was the Son of God, and he still had to figure out. Well, we have the same power that God gave Christ. We walk around. We can shine. We can tell Satan, get thee behind us, and he has to obey. He can't say, well, I don't feel like it. I remember years ago, I was running a PFAL class in my house, and there was, on the street, two cars came, and there was a high school nearby, and they were having a game. Two cars pull up, and they couldn't pass each other. And so they're honking their horn out in front of our house, and we're trying to run the class and keep the students listening to the class and not the cars out front. So I go outside, and I ask them politely, you know, could you people could quit honking your horn? And the one woman was kind of polite, and the guy said, no, I won't stop. So I looked at him, and I said, get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. And he started his car up, put it in reverse, started backing up, and he goes, no, I won't go, I won't go, I won't go. That's called a lion spirit, people. You know, he says he won't go, but he has to go.
And he did go.
And he did go. Verse 12. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which had to put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look. But that, to the end, that was abolished. That administration's now abolished. But their minds were blinded, even unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with Christ. See, people, there's still people today that they see, they don't see the word. You'll quote, you ever had somebody you speak the word to and you share the greatness? I mean, I've had people in my backyard, and I'll share, you know, so this person got healed, and they got delivered of something that was impossible to get delivered of. And they just look at me like I'm talking about baseball or, you know, the weather or something. They could care less. You know, but this is important stuff. But they're blinded, the veil. Their eyes are veiled. Verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is on their heart. Here's the verse I wanted to get to. Verse 17. Well, let's read 16 too. Nevertheless, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. See, when people turn to God, God will remove the veil and they'll understand the Bible. I remember the first time I read the Bible on my own, I went to one of the parables in the Gospels, and I read it, and I read it again, and I read it again, and it made no sense. I had not the slightest clue what they were talking about, because the veil was still on my heart. God had to remove that veil. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. God's the one that removes the veil. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, where God is, we have freedom. We're not under the thumb of Satan. Instead of being under Satan's thumb, we can put our foot, here we go, put our foot on Satan's neck. Not literally, but spiritually. But we all with, verse 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and are changed by the same image, glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right, let's skip over to chapter 4, verse 3. I'm building up to something here. We're going to end up in chapter 5, and that's going to be the point I want to make here. But I'm using this all as background. Chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, doesn't say he is God, says the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus Jesus the Lord. See, I don't preach Jeff. Nobody wants to follow Jeff. The only person who likes to hang around with me is Diane. There's probably something wrong with her. I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with you, Diane.
I don't know, but...
So where was I? I was making a joke and I lost...
Verse 5,
thank you. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. And it says Christ Jesus. That's the resurrected one. When you see Christ first and then Jesus, that's the resurrected Messiah. Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. See, any leader, see, they got some of these TV preachers. They got private jets. They got houses, you know, servants, and, you know, big houses. They don't even know how many rooms are in the house. Well, I read in the gospel where when Paul went traveling around, he quite often worked a job. And he didn't have servants. He didn't have he didn't have a private jet. And that's the way I am too. I just have a middle class existence, and I'm perfectly happy with that. And where was I here? Six. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, before we came to God, we were just body and soul. We just empty cup. Like here, I got this little bottle here. It's got water in it. We were this like this bottle with no water in it. And the water, in this case, symbolizes Holy Spirit. So we were empties. It's like you go to the bar, you have your first beer, and you go, bartender, you go, empty, empty, empty. You know, That's a joke. I don't know. Sorry.
That's what you do at the dinner table, right?
Yeah. Empty. That's a rude way of saying, may I please have some more? So we have this, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of us.
No.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. That the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. All right, let's skip down to chapter 5. Now, this is what I wanted to get to, but I wanted to use that as building up. Chapter 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. What does that mean, know we him no more? We don't follow Jesus Christ after the flesh. Remember I showed you that verse that said Christ Jesus? We preach not ourselves, but Christ. We preach the resurrected Messiah. We don't follow Jesus after the flesh. We don't follow people after the flesh. I remember there was one ministry I was involved with. They had a very charismatic leader, and people liked him so much that they would drink the same kind of beverage that he drank. They wanted to be like him. Well, we don't need to be like our leader. We need to be like Christ. That's what we need to be like. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, you notice they left the Jesus part out. Because Jesus has several names. Sometimes he's called the Son of Man. Sometimes he's called the Son of God. And sometimes he's called Jesus. Sometimes he's called Jesus Christ. Sometimes he's called Christ Jesus. Sometimes he's just called Christ. Christ also is equivalent to calling him Messiah. And here he's just referred to as Christ. So we're not looking at the man. When you first get born again, remember Romans 10, 9 and 10? It says that if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Christ, right? No, Jesus. The Lord Jesus. You have to, when you come, you're that empty vessel. Empty. You come, you have to go to Jesus first. You relate to him as a man. That's how you first get to God. But then once you're a mature believer, you relate to Christ, the Messiah, because that's where the power is. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, what does that mean? We're in fellowship. We put on the mind of Christ in our renewed mind. We're born again. We have the Spirit within. We're walking. then he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. You know, you wake up in the morning, you get out of bed, you feel good, you look outside, the sun's shining, you think, oh my God, this is another beautiful day. Great, you know, life is good. It's a great day to be alive. Thank you, God. What are we going to do today? Let's go have some fun, God. Verse 18, on all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. It's now our job to reconcile people back to Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. See, we don't go around and say, all you evil sons of bleep, you guys are all worthless. There's nothing good about you. All you do is lust for money and power. You're just worthless. You're all going to hell. You're going to burn in the lake of fire like Satan. I don't even want to be around you. You guys are disgust. No, we don't impute their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We share with them things from the word. You know, God loves you. You know, God can heal your diseases. God can fix your broken heart. God can give you eternal life. We say things like that. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we were those empty vessels, and we were worthless. We were like, what? Let's go back. I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn there. Let's see what it said. Remember, we had Psalm 14. All these psalms. Why couldn't they just make one big psalm? We'd never find what we're looking for. Verse 587. No. Psalm 14:1. The fool. We were all fools. We said in our heart, there is no God. We were corrupt. We did abominable works. We didn't do any good. I'm paraphrasing this now. And the Lord looked down from heaven on us and he said, there's none that understands. There's none that seeks God. We've all gone astray. We've all become filthy. We didn't do good. Not, that's what we were. But when we were like that, God loved us and he sent his son. That's how big God is. And it's interesting. I overheard a phone conversation and somebody was talking to somebody and they said, what does God want in our lives? What does God want? You know, I wonder what God wants in our lives. And what, you know what God wants? He wants us to include him. You know, I mean, there's more than that, but, you know, the real simple, if you break it down, simple truth, God wants us to include him in our lives. He wants us to be ambassadors, and you can't be that if you don't include God. You got to, you know, if you're walking like that Psalm 14, then you're going to be an ambassador for the flesh, and you're just going to just be like those other people that love money. But anyway, so what do we got here? We started out, we were sharing about how it's a crooked, perverse nation and run by people who love money instead of love people. But remember, there was a song we used to sing in fellowships. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. See, this is not our... We're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. We're sent here with a message to deliver. And we don't need to condemn people. And they deserve it. But remember, there's God's mercy and God's grace. God's mercy is you don't get what you deserve. God's grace is you get what you don't deserve, the good stuff. And so we just tell people about God's mercy and God's grace, and hopefully they get out of being what they were in Psalm 14 or what they were in Timothy, you know, love of money. And in the meantime, we can also rebuke things. We can speak against the evil that's going on in this world. And we can speak against all the stuff that the devil's trying to do. And we can help people. So, that's what I wanted to share today. And I'll have a prayer, and then we can talk a little bit, and I'll stay on the phone for, I'll stay in the meeting for a little bit, and then those of us that are here, we're going to have some, cook some meat on the grill, and no veggie burgers, sorry. And Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that we don't have to be like the people of this world, where we just have evil thoughts and lust for money and want to use people and do evil all the time. But Father, we can be ambassadors for Christ, and we can include you in our life, and we can walk and stand and just hold forth your word in all love. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.